Chapter 44. Sense Unknown. Tarwin's Gap is the place that makes the most sense, Nynaeve argued. She and Rand rode on an overgrown road in the open grassland of Maredo, accompanied by a crowd of Aiel. Nynaeve was the only Aes Sedai there. Narishma and Naef rode near the back of the group, looking sullen. Rand had forced their Aes Sedai to stay behind. He seemed particularly determined to assert his independence from them lately. Nynaeve was astride a pure white mare named Moonlight, appropriated from Rand's stable in Tyr. It still seemed odd that he would have his own stable at all, let alone one in each of the major cities of the world. Tarwin's Gap, Rand said, shaking his head. No. The more I think about it, the more I realize that we don't want to fight there. Lan is doing me a favor. If I can coordinate an assault alongside his own, I can gain great advantage. But I don't want to distract my armies with the gap. It would be a waste of resources. A waste of resources? The gap was where Lan was heading, like an arrow loosed from a Two Rivers longbow, heading there to die. And Rand said helping was a waste? Wool-headed fool! Gritting her teeth, she forced herself to calm down. If only he would argue, rather than speaking in that distant way he had recently adopted. He seemed so emotionless, but she had seen the beast get free and roar at her. It was coiled inside him, and if he didn't let his emotions out soon, they would devour him from the inside. But how to make him see reason? She had prepared argument after argument, each of them distinctly reasoned and calmly explained during their time in Tyr. Rand had ignored all of them, spending the last 2 days meeting with his generals and planning strategy for the last battle. Each day brought Lan one step closer to a fight he couldn't win. Each day made her more anxious. Several times she'd nearly abandoned Rand and ridden for the north. If Lan was going to fight an impossible battle, then she longed to be at his side. But she stayed. Light take Randall Thor, she stayed. What good would it do to help Lan, only to let the world fall into shadow because of a stubborn sheepherder's stubbornness. She gave her braid a solid yank. The jeweled bracelets and rings on her hands glittered in the faint sunlight. The sky was cloudy, of course, just as it had been for weeks. Everyone tried to ignore how unnatural that was, but Nynaeve could still feel that storm building to the north. Such a short time left until Lan reached the gap. Light sensed that he was slowed down by the Malkieri who had come to support him in his ride. Light sensed that he was not alone. Thinking of him, riding into the Blight, facing the army of Shadow Spawn who infested his homeland. We have to attack there, Nynaeve said. Aitoralda says that the Blight is swarming with Trollocs. The Dark One is gathering his forces. You can bet that the bulk of them will be at the gap, where it's easiest to get through and strike at Andor and Cairhien. That is exactly why we will not attack at the gap, Nynaeve, Rand said, voice cold and even. We cannot let the enemy dictate our battlefield. The last thing we want to do is fight where they want us to, or where they expect us to. He turned eyes northward. Yes, let them gather. They seek me, and I shall not deliver myself. Why fight at Tarwin's Gap? It makes the best sense to jump most of our armies right to Sheol Ghul. Rand, she said, trying to sound reasonable. Couldn't he see that she was reasonable? There is no way that Lan has been able to gather a large enough force to hold back a mass assault by the Trollocs, particularly not with most of the Borderlander armies doing light only knows what down here. He'll be overrun, and the Trollocs will invade. Mention of the Borderlanders made Rand's face tighten. They rode to meet with one of their messengers. The Trollocs will invade, Rand repeated.
Yes!
Good, Rand said. It will keep them occupied as I do what needs to be done.
And Lan?
Nynaeve asked.
His attack will be well placed, Rand nodded. He will draw my enemy's attention to Malkier and the Gap, and it will make them think that I am there. Shadow Spawn can't move through gateways, so they can't move as quickly as I can. By the time they've engaged Lan, I'll be past them and attacking directly at the Dark One's heart. I don't plan to abandon the southern lands. Not at all. When the Trollocs punch through the gap, they will break up into fists to invade. That's when my forces will hit them, led by Bashir, traveling by gateway to strike at each group of Trollocs from the sides or behind. That way we can pick the best battlefields to suit our needs.
Rand, Nynaeve said, her anger fading to horror. Lan will die.
Then who am I to deny him that? Rand said. We all deserve the chance to find peace.
Nynaeve found her mouth hanging open. He actually believed that.
Or he was convincing himself to believe it, at least. My duty is to kill the Dark One, Rand said, as if to himself. I kill him, then I die. That is all.
But that is enough, Nynaeve. Rand spoke softly in that dangerous voice of his. He would not be pressed further. Nynaeve sat back, stewing, trying to decide how to press him on the topic. Light. He would leave the people of the Borderlands to suffer and die in the Trolloc invasions. The people there wouldn't care if the Dark One had been defeated. They would be cooking in stew pots. That would leave Lan and the Malkieri to fight alone, a tiny force to resist the might of every monster that the Blight could spit out. The Seanchan would wage their war to the south and the west. The Trollocs would attack from the north and the east. The two would meet, eventually. Andor and the other kingdoms would be turned into a massive battleground. The people there, good people like those in the Two Rivers, would have no chance against such warfare. They'd be crushed. So what could she do to change it? She had to come up with a new strategy to influence Rand. Everything in her heart pointed at protecting Lan. She had to get him help. The group rode through open grassland, spotted occasionally with farms. They passed one on the right, a solitary farmstead not unlike many back in the Two Rivers. Yet, in the Two Rivers, she'd never seen a farmer watch travelers with such open hostility. The red-bearded man in dirtied trousers, with sleeves rolled nearly to his shoulders, leaned against a half-finished fence, his axe laid casually but very visibly on the logs beside him. His field had seen better years. Though the soil had been neatly ploughed and harrowed, the furrows had spat forth only the smallest of sprouts. The field was spotted with empty patches where seeds had inexplicably refused to take root, and the plants that were growing had a yellowish cast to them. A group of younger men were pulling a stump free from a neighboring field, yet to Nynaeve's practiced eye, they weren't actually trying to get any work done. They didn't have the harness hooked to their ox, and they hadn't loosened the stump in the earth by digging about it. Those lengths of wood lying in the grass were too stout and smoothly worked to be the shafts of tools. Quarterstaffs. It was almost an amusing display, considering the fact that Rand had 200 Aiel with him. But it said something. These men expected trouble and were preparing for it. No doubt they could feel the storm themselves. This area, close to trade routes and within reach of Tyr, was relatively safe from bandits. It was also just far enough north to avoid being caught in squabbles between Ilion and Tyr. This should have been a place where farmers didn't need to turn good lumber into quarterstaffs, nor watch strangers with eyes that expected attack. That wariness would serve them well when the Trollocs reached them, assuming the Seanchan hadn't conquered them and pressed them into their armies by that point. Nynaeve tugged her braid again. Her mind turned back to Lan. She had to do something, but Rand wasn't seeing sense. That left only Cadswain's mysterious plan. Fool woman, refusing to explain it. Nynaeve had made the first step, offering an allegiance. And how had Cadswain reacted? With presumptuous arrogance, of course. How dare she welcome Nynaeve into her little group of Aes Sedai, like a child who has been wandering in the woods? How would Nynaeve's task, discovering where Perrin was, help Lan? During the past week, Nynaeve had pressed Cadswain for more information, but had failed. "Perform this task well, child," Cadswain had said, "and perhaps we shall give you more responsibility in the future. You've proven yourself willful at times, and we can't have that.
Nynaeve sighed. Find out where Perrin was. How was she supposed to do that? The Two Rivers folk had been of little use. Many of their men were traveling with Perrin, but they hadn't been seen for some time. They were in the south somewhere, Altara or Gildon, likely, but that left a large area to search. She should have known that the Two Rivers would not provide an easy answer. Cadswain had obviously already tried reaching Perrin herself, and must have failed. That's why she'd given the task to Nynaeve. Had Rand sent Perrin on some secret mission?
Rand, she said.
He was muttering roughly to himself. She shivered.
Rand, she said more sharply.
He stopped muttering, then glanced at her. She thought she could see the anger hidden there, deep within him, a flash of annoyance at her interruption. Then it was gone, replaced by the frighteningly cool control.
Yes? He asked.
Do you know where Perrin is?
He has tasks set before him and performs them, Rand said, turning away. Why do you wish to know?
Best not to mention Cadswain. I'm still worried about him. And about Matt.
Ah, Rand said. You are particularly unaccustomed to lying, aren't you, Nynaeve?
She felt her face flush in embarrassment. When had he learned to read people so well?
I am worried about him, Randalthor, she said. He has a peaceful, unassuming nature, and always did let his friends push him around too much.
There, let Rand think about that.
Unassuming, Rand said musingly. Yes, I suppose he is still that. But peaceful? Perrin is no longer too peaceful.
So he had been in touch with Perrin recently.
Light! How had Cadswain known, and how had Nynaeve missed those communications?
Rand, if you have Perrin working on something for you, then why have you kept it secret?
I haven't been meeting with him, Nynaeve, Rand said. Calm yourself. There are simply things that I know. We are connected, Perrin, myself, and Matt.
How? What do you—
That is all I will say on it, Nynaeve, Rand interrupted,
slicing into her sentence with soft words.
Nynaeve settled back, gritting her teeth again. The other Aes Sedai spoke of being in control of their emotions, but obviously they didn't have to deal with Randalthor.
Nynaeve could be calm, too, if she weren't expected to manage the most bull-headed fool of a man who would ever put on a pair of boots.
They rode in silence for a time, the overcast sky hanging above them like a distant field of gray moss peat. The meeting place with the Borderlanders was a nearby crossroads. They could have traveled directly there, but the maidens had prevailed upon Rand to arrive a short distance out and approach more carefully. Traveling was extremely convenient, but it also could be dangerous. If your enemies knew where you would appear, you could open a gateway and find yourself ambushed by a line of archers. Even sending scouts through the gateway first wasn't as safe as traveling to a spot where nobody was expecting you. The Aiel learned and adapted quickly. Surprising, really. The waste was terribly unvaried. Every part looked just about the same. Of course, she had overheard some Aiel guards saying something similar about the wetlands. This particular crossroads hadn't been important in years. If Verin or one of the other Brown sisters had been there, they'd likely have been able to explain exactly why. All Nynaeve knew was that the kingdom which had once held this land had fallen long ago, and the only remnant was the independent city of Far Madding. The Wheel of Time turned. The most grand of kingdoms fell, rusted, and eventually changed into lazy fields, ruled only by farmers, determined to grow a particularly good crop of barley. It had happened to Manetharan, and it had happened here. Great highways that had once transported legions now dwindled to obscure country roads in need of maintenance. As they continued, Nynaeve let moonlight fall back from Rand's position. That placed her riding near Nerishma, with his dark braided hair, bells tinkling on the ends. He wore black, like most Ashaman, and the sword and dragon twinkled on his collar. He'd changed in the months since being bonded as a warder. She could no longer look at him and see a boy. This was a man, with the grace of a soldier, the careful eyes of a warder. A man who had seen death and fought forsaken.
"You're a borderlander, Narishma," Nynaeve said. "Do you have any idea why the others left their posts?"
He shook his head, scanning the landscape.
"I was a cobbler's son, Nynaeve Sedai. I know not the ways of lords and ladies."
He hesitated.
"Besides, I'm not a borderlander anymore."
The implication was clear. He would protect Rand, no matter what other allegiances tugged at him. A very warder-like way of thought. Nynaeve nodded slowly.
"Do you have any idea what we're riding into?"
"They'll keep their word," Narishma said. "A borderlander would sooner die than break his word. They promised to send a delegation to meet with the Lord Dragon. They'll do just that. I wish we'd been allowed to bring our eyes to die, though."
Reports held that the Borderlander army included 13 Aes Sedai, a dangerous number, the number needed to still a woman or gentle a man. 13 women in a circle could shield the most powerful of channelers. Rand had insisted that the delegation that came to meet him include no more than 4 of those 13 Aes Sedai. In return, he promised to bring no more than 4 channelers. 2 Ashaman, Narishma and Naif, Nynaeve, and Rand himself. Maurice and the others had thrown the Aes Sedai equivalent of a fit. It involved a lot of downturned lips, and questions like, "Are you certain you want to do that?" when Rand had forbidden them to come. Nynaeve noted Narishma's tense posture.
"You don't look as if you trust them."
"A borderlander's place is guarding the border," Narishma said. "I was a cobbler's son, and yet I was trained with the sword, spear, bow, axe, and sling. Even before joining the Ashaman, I could best 4 out of 5 trained southern soldiers in a duel. We live to defend. And yet they left. Now of all times. With 13 Aes Sedai."
He glanced at her with those dark eyes of his.
"I want to trust them. I know them for good people. But good people can do the wrong thing. Particularly when men who can channel are involved."
Nynaeve fell silent. Narishma had a point, though what cause would the borderlanders have to harm Rand? They'd fought the encroachment of the Blight and its shadow spawn for centuries, and the struggle against the Dark One was imprinted on their very souls. They wouldn't turn against the Dragon Reborn. The borderlanders had a special honor about them. It could be frustrating, true. But it was who they were. Lan's reverence for his homeland, particularly when many other Malkieri had abandoned their identity, was part of what she loved about him.
"Oh, Lan, I'll find someone to help you. I won't let you ride into the shadow's jaws alone."
As they neared a small green hill, several Aiel returned from scouting. Rand pulled the group to a halt, waiting for the Cut-in-Zor-clad scouts to pad up to him, several wearing the red headbands marked with the ancient symbol of the Aes Sedai. The scouts weren't winded, despite the fact that they'd run all the way ahead to the meeting place and then back. Rand leaned forward in his saddle.
"Did they do as I asked? Did they bring no more than 200 men? No more than 4 Aes Sedai?"
"Yes, Rand Althor," said one of the scouts. "Yes, they kept to your requirements admirably. They have great honor."
Nynaeve recognized the strange Aiel brand of humor in the tone of the man's response.
"What?" Rand asked. "One man, Rand Althor," the Aiel scout said. "That is all that their delegation consists of. He's a short little thing of a man, though he looks like he knows how to dance the spears. The crossroads is behind this hill."
Nynaeve looked ahead. Indeed, now that she knew to look, she could see another road running up from the south, presumably meeting with theirs just beyond the hill.
"What manner of trap is this?" Naif asked, riding up beside Rand,
his lean warrior's face concerned.
An ambush?
Rand held up a hand for silence. He kicked his gelding into motion, and the scouts kept up without a word of complaint. Nynaeve was nearly left behind. Moonlight was a far more placid animal than she would have chosen for herself. She'd have words with the stable master when she returned to Tyr. They rounded the hillside, finding a dusty square of ground, scarred by old fire pits where caravans had stopped for the night. A roadway smaller than the one they'd been using twisted up to the north and down to the south. A solitary Shinaran man stood in the center, where roads met, watching the oncoming procession. His shoulder-length gray hair hung loose around a lean face which complemented his wiry build. His round face was lined with marks of age. His eyes were small, and he seemed to be squinting.
Hurin? She thought with surprise.
Nynaeve hadn't seen the thief-taker since he'd accompanied her and a group of others back to the White Tower, following the events at Falma. Rand reined in his horse, allowing Nynaeve and the Ashaman to catch up. Aiel fanned out like leaves blown before a gust of wind, taking up watchful positions around the crossroads. She was fairly certain that both of the Ashaman had seized the source, and likely Rand had as well. Hurin shuffled uncomfortably. He looked much as Nynaeve remembered him. A tad more gray in the hair, but wearing the same simple brown clothing, with a sword breaker and a short sword at his waist. He had tied a horse to a fallen log nearby. The Aiel watched it suspiciously, as others might watch a pack of guard dogs.
"Why, Lord Rand," Hurin called, voice uneven. "It is you. Well, you've certainly come up in the world, I must say. Good to—"
He cut off as he was raised from the ground. He made an irk of surprise, being turned on unseen weaves of air. Nynaeve suppressed a shiver. Would seeing men channel ever stop bothering her?
"Who chased after you and me, Hurin?" Rand called. "The time when we were trapped in that distant shadowland. What nationality of men did I fell with the bow?"
"Men?" Hurin asked, voice almost a squawk. "Lord Rand, there were no men in that place. None that we met. Beyond Lady Selene, that is. All I remember are those frog beasts, the same ones folks say those Shanshan ride."
Rand spun Hurin around in the air, regarding him with cold eyes. Then he urged his mount closer. Nynaeve and the Ashaman did as well.
"You don't believe that I'm me, Lord Rand?" Hurin asked as he hung in the air.
"I take very little as it is presented to me these days," Rand said. "I assume the Borderlanders sent you because of our familiarity?"
Hurin nodded, sweating. Nynaeve felt a stab of pity for the man. He was absolutely devoted to Rand. They had spent a lot of time together, chasing down Fane and the Horn of Valyr. On the return trip to Tar Valon, she'd seldom been able to stop Hurin from gossiping about this or that grand feat that Rand had accomplished. Being treated this way by the man he idolized was probably very unsettling for the lean thief-taker.
"Why only you?" Rand asked quietly.
"Well,"
Hurin said, sighing,
"they did tell you."
He hesitated, seeming distracted by something. He sniffed audibly.
"Now that? That's strange. Never smelled that before."
"What?" Rand asked.
"I don't know," Hurin said. "The air. It smells like a lot of death. A lot of violence, only not. It's darker, more terrible."
He shuddered visibly. Hurin's ability to smell violence was one of those oddities that the tower couldn't explain. Not something related to the power, yet obviously not quite natural, either. Rand didn't seem to care what Hurin smelled.
"Tell me why they sent only you, Hurin."
"I was saying, Lord Rand. See, this here. We're to discuss terms."
"Terms regarding your armies moving back where they belong," Rand said.
"No, Lord Rand," Hurin said uncomfortably. "Terms for setting up a real meeting with them. That
part in their letter was kind of vague, I guess. They said you might be angry to find only me here.
They were wrong, Rand said, voice softer. Nynaeve found herself straining to hear him, leaning forward.
I no longer feel anger, Hurin, Rand said. It serves me no useful function. Why would we need terms to meet together? I presumed that my offer to bring only a small force would be acceptable.
Well, Lord Rand, Hurin said, you see, they really want to meet with you. I mean, we came all this way, marched through the bloody winter itself, my pardon, Aes Sedai. But it was the bloody winter, and a bad one, although it took a long time getting to us. Anyways, we did that, coming for you, Lord Rand. So, you see, they want to meet with you, very badly. But, well, last time you were in Farmadding, there was...
Rand held up a finger. Hurin quieted and all grew still. Even the horses seemed to hold their breaths.
The Borderlanders are in Farmadding? Rand asked.
Yes, Lord Rand.
They want to meet with me there?
Yes, Lord Rand. You'll have to come inside the protection of the Guardian, you see, and...
Rand waved a curt hand, cutting off Hurin. A gateway opened immediately. It didn't appear to lead to Farmadding, however. It just led back a short distance to the road where Rand and the others had been riding a short time before. Rand released Hurin, gesturing for the Aiel to let the man mount, then moved Tidaishar through the gateway. What was going on? Everyone else followed. Once through, Rand created another gateway, this one opening into a small wooded hollow. Nynaeve thought she recognized it. This was where they had camped following their visit to Farmadding with Cadswain. Why the first gateway? Nynaeve thought, confused. And then it occurred to her. One didn't need to learn an area to travel a short distance from it. And traveling to a place taught someone that location well enough to create gateways from it. So by traveling a short hop first, Rand memorized the location well enough to create gateways wherever he wanted, while skipping the time needed to learn the area. It was extremely clever, and Nynaeve felt herself blushing that she hadn't seen the possibility before. How long had Rand known of this trick? Had memory of it come from that voice in his head? Rand rode Tidaishar out into the hollow, the horse's hooves stirring fallen leaves as he worked his way through the underbrush. Nynaeve followed, trying to urge her docile mare to keep up with Rand. That stablemaster was going to hear from her for certain. His ears would burn when she was through with him. Hurin trotted his horse out as well, and the Aiel loped along, subtly keeping him surrounded. They had their faces veiled, spears or bows in hand. Past the trees and underbrush, Rand stopped Tidaishar, looking across the open meadow toward the ancient city of Farmadding. It wasn't large, not by the measure of the great cities, nor was it beautiful, not when compared with the Ogier-built wonders Nynaeve had seen. But it was big enough, and it was certainly home to fine architecture and ancient relics. Set upon an island in a lake, it was actually faintly reminiscent of Tar Valon. Three broad bridges crossed the calm waters and were the only means of entering the city. A very large army was encamped around the lake, perhaps covering more ground than Farmadding itself. Nynaeve counted dozens of different pennons marking dozens of different houses. There were lines upon lines of horses, and tents like rows of summer crops, carefully planted and organized, awaiting harvest. The Borderlander Army.
I've heard of this place, Nave said, riding up,
close-cropped dark brown hair ruffling in the wind. He narrowed his eyes, rectangular face dissatisfied.
It's like a steading, only not as safe.
Farmadding's massive Tirangreal, known as the Guardian, created invisible protective bubbles that blocked people from touching the One Power. That could be worked around through the use of a very specialized Tirangreal, one of which Nynaeve happened to be wearing, but it would help only slightly.
The army looked close enough to be within the bubble that prevented men from channeling, which extended about a mile out around the city.
"They will know we've come," Rand said softly, eyes narrowed. "They'll have been waiting for it. They expect me to ride into their box."
"Box?" Nynaeve asked hesitantly.
"The city is a box," Rand said. "The whole city and the area around it. They want me where they can control me, but they don't understand. Nobody controls me. Not anymore. I've had enough of boxes and prisons, of chains and ropes. Never again will I put myself into the power of another."
Still staring at the city, he reached to its place on his saddle and removed the statuette of a man holding aloft a globe. Nynaeve felt a sharp chill. Did he have to bring that with him everywhere he went?
"Perhaps they need to be taught," Rand said, "given encouragement to do their duty and obey me."
"Rand," Nynaeve tried to think. She couldn't let this happen again. The access key began to glow faintly.
"They want to capture me," he said softly. "Hold me. Beat me. They did it once in Farmadding already. They—"
"Rand," Nynaeve said sharply. He stopped, looking at her, seeing her as if for the first time. "These are not slaves with their minds already burned away by Grendel. That is an entire city full of innocent people."
"I wouldn't harm the people of the city," Rand said, voice emotionless. "That army deserves the demonstration, not the city. A rain of fire upon them, perhaps, or lightning to strike and bite."
"They have done nothing other than ask you to meet with them," Nynaeve said, edging her horse closer to him. That Terran Greal sat like a viper in his hand. Once it had cleansed the source, if only it had melted away as the female one had. She wasn't certain what would happen if he aimed a weave into the protective bubble of Farmadding, but she suspected it would still work. The Guardian didn't stop weaves from being made. Nynaeve had been able to craft weaves just fine when she'd drawn upon her well. Either way, she knew that she had to stop Rand from turning his anger, or whatever it was he felt, upon his allies.
"Rand," she said softly, "if you do this, there will be no turning back." "There's already no turning back for me, Nynaeve," he said, his eyes intense.
Those eyes shifted, sometimes seeming gray, sometimes blue. Today they looked iron gray. He continued, voice flat.
"My feet started on this path the moment Tam found me crying on that mountain."
"You don't have to kill anyone today, please." He turned to look back at the city. Slowly, mercifully, the access key stopped glowing.
"Hurin!" he barked.
He must be close to fraying, Nynaeve thought. His anger is slipping out in his voice. The thief-taker rode up to the front of the group. The Aiel kept their distance, however.
"Yes, Lord Rand?"
"Return to your masters inside of their box," Rand said, voice under control again. "You are to give them a message for me."
"What message, Lord Rand?"
Rand hesitated, then slipped the access key back in its place.
"Tell them that it will not be long before the dragon reborn rides to battle at Sheol Ghul. If they wish to return to their posts with honor, I will provide them with transport back to the Blight. Otherwise, they can remain here, hiding. Let them explain to their children and grandchildren why they were hundreds of leagues away from their posts when the Dark One was slain and the prophecies fulfilled."
Hurin looked shaken.
"Yes, Lord Rand."
With that, Rand turned his horse about and rode back toward the clearing. Nynaeve followed, too slowly. Beautiful though moonlight was, she'd have traded the beautiful mare in an instant for a biddable, dependable Two Rivers horse like Bela. Hurin stayed behind. He still looked shaken. His reunion with Lord Rand had obviously been far from what he expected.
Nynaeve gritted her teeth as the trees obscured her view of him. Inside the clearing, Rand had opened another gateway, a direct gateway to Tyr. They rode out into the traveling ground prepared outside the Stone of Tyr's stable yards. The air was hot and muggy in Tyr, despite the overcast sky, and thick with the sounds of men training and gulls shrieking. Rand rode out to where stable hands waited, then dismounted, his face unreadable. As Nynaeve climbed off of Moonlight and handed the reins to a ruddy-faced stable worker, Rand walked past her.
"Look for a statue," he said.
"What?" she asked with surprise. He glanced back at her, stopping.
"You asked where Perrin was. He's camped with an army beneath the shade of an enormous fallen statue, shaped like a sword stabbing the earth. I'm certain scholars here can tell you where it is. It's very distinctive."
How do you know that?
Rand just shrugged. I just do.
Why tell me? She asked, walking alongside him across the yard of packed earth. She hadn't expected him to give up the information. He had gotten into the habit of holding on to whatever he knew, even if that knowledge was meaningless.
"Because," he said, striding toward the keep, voice growing almost too soft to hear, I have a debt to you for caring when I cannot. If you seek Perrin out, tell him that I will soon need him."
With that, he left her. Nynaeve stood in the horse yard, watching him go. There was a wet scent to the air, the smell of new rain, and she could feel that she'd missed a sprinkle. Not enough to clear the air or muddy the ground, but enough to leave wetted sections of stone in shaded corners. To her right, men galloped and exercised horses beneath the dun sky, riding across sandy earth between pickets. The stone was the only fortress she knew of with exercise areas for cavalry, but then the stone was far from ordinary. The rumble of hoofbeats was like the sound of a distant storm, and she found herself glancing northward. The storm there felt closer than it had before. She'd assumed it was gathering in the Blight, but now she wasn't so certain. She took a deep breath, then hastened to the keep. She passed defenders in their immaculate uniforms, the upper arm portions ribbed and puffy, breastplates smooth and curved. She passed stable boys, each probably dreaming of one day wearing that same uniform, but for now only leading horses back to the stables for hay and currying. She passed dozens of servants in linens, doubtless far more comfortable than Nynaeve's maroon wool. The keep itself was a towering rock of a structure, sheer walls broken only by windows, except that she could still spot the place where Matt had destroyed a section of stone with his illuminator's fireworks when coming to rescue Nynaeve and the others from their imprisonment. Fool boy. Where was he? She hadn't seen him in quite a long time, since Ebudar had fallen to the Seanchan. In a way, she felt as though she'd abandoned him, though she'd never admit that. Why, she'd embarrassed herself enough in front of the Daughter of the Nine Moons when she'd defended that scoundrel. She still didn't know what had come over her. Matt could care for himself. He was probably carousing in some inn while the rest of them worked to save the world, drinking himself silly and playing at dice. Rand was another matter. He'd been so much easier to deal with when he'd continued to act like other men, stubborn and immature, but predictable. This new Rand with the cold emotions and the cold voice was truly unnerving. The narrow corridors of the stone were still unfamiliar to Nynaeve, and she often got lost. Her disorientation wasn't helped by the fact that hallways and walls sometimes changed places. She'd tried to discount such tales as superstitious nonsense, but the day before, she'd woken to discover that her room had indeed suddenly and mysteriously moved. Her door had opened to a smooth wall of the same seamless rock as the stone itself. She'd been forced to escape through a gateway, and had been shocked to learn that her window looked out from a location 2 stories higher than it had the previous night.
Cadswain said it was the Dark One's touch on the world, causing the pattern to unravel. Cadswain said a lot of things, and few of them were things that Nynaeve wished to hear. Nynaeve got lost twice as she wove her way through the corridors, but she eventually arrived at Cadswain's room. At least Rand hadn't forbidden his stewards to grant her rooms. Nynaeve knocked. She'd learned that she'd better. Then entered. The Aes Sedai from Cadswain's group, Maurice and Kareel, sat in the room, knitting and sipping tea, trying to look like they were not waiting on the infernal woman's whims. Cadswain herself was speaking quietly with Min, whom she'd all but appropriated in recent days. Min herself didn't seem to mind, perhaps because it wasn't easy to spend time with Rand these days. Nynaeve felt a stab of sympathy for the girl. Nynaeve only had to deal with Rand as a friend. All this would be much harsher on the one who shared his heart. All eyes turned toward Nynaeve as she closed the door. "I think I found him," she announced.
"Who is that, child?" Cadswain said, leafing through one of Min's books.
"Perrin," Nynaeve said. "You were right. Rand did know where he was."
"Excellent," Cadswain said. "You did well. It appears that you can be of use."
Nynaeve wasn't certain which annoyed her more, the backhanded compliment, or the fact that her heart swelled with pride at hearing it. She was no girl without her braid to be stroked by this woman's words.
"Well?"
Cadswain looked up from the book. The others remained silent, though Min did shoot Nynaeve a congratulatory smile.
"Where is he?"
Nynaeve opened her mouth to reply before she caught herself. What was it about this woman that made her want to obey? It wasn't the One Power or anything to do with it. Cadswain simply projected the air of a stern but fair grandmother, the type you never spoke back to, but who would give you some baked sweets in reward for sweeping the floor when told. "First, I want to know why Perrin is important." Nynaeve stalked into the room and took the only remaining seat, a painted wooden stool. When she sat, she found herself sitting a few inches below eye level, like a student before Cadswain. She almost stood up, but realized that would draw more attention.
"Faw," Cadswain said. "You'd hold this knowledge back, even if it means the lives of those you hold dear?"
"I want to know what I've gotten myself into," Nynaeve said stubbornly. "I want to know that this information isn't going to end up hurting Rand further." Cadswain snorted.
"You presume to think that I'd hurt the fool boy?"
"I'm not going to presume otherwise," Nynaeve snapped. "Not until you tell me what you are doing." Cadswain closed the book, Echoes of His Dynasty, and looked perturbed.
"Will you at least tell me how the meeting with the Borderlanders went?" she asked. "Or is that information held for ransom as well?"
Did she think she'd distract Nynaeve that easily?
"It went poorly, as one might expect," she said. "They've hunkered down outside Far Madding and refused to meet with Rand unless he comes within range of the Guardian, cutting himself off from the source."
"Did he take it well?" Kareel asked from her cushioned bench at the side of the room. She smiled faintly. She seemed to be the only one who thought the changes in Rand were amusing rather than terrifying. But then, she was one of the women who had bonded an Ashaman at practically the first opportunity. "Did he take it well?" Nynaeve repeated flatly. "That depends. Does pulling out that blasted Tarangreal and threatening to rain down fire on the army strike you as taking it well?"
Min paled. Cadswain raised an eyebrow.
"I stopped him," Nynaeve said, "but just barely. I don't know. It might be getting too late to do anything to change him."
"That boy will laugh again," Cadswain said quietly but intensely. "I didn't live this long to fail now."
"What does it matter?" Kareel said. Nynaeve turned in shock. "Well," Kareel set down her mending. "What does it matter? We're obviously going to succeed."
"Light,"
Nynaeve said. What gave you that idea?
We've just spent all afternoon drilling this girl about her visions.
Kareel nodded to Min.
They always come true. And she's seen things that obviously can't happen until after the last battle. So we know that Rand is going to defeat the Dark One. The pattern has already decided it. We can stop worrying.
No, Min said. You're wrong. Kareel frowned.
Child, are you saying that you lied about the things you've seen?
No, Min said. But if Rand loses, there is no pattern.
The girl is correct, Cadswain sounded surprised. What this child sees are weavings in the pattern from a time still distant. But if the Dark One wins, he will destroy the pattern entirely. This is the only way the visions could fail to occur. The same holds for other prophecies and foretellings. Our victory is by no means sure.
That stilled the room. They weren't playing at village politics or national dominance. At stake was creation itself.
Light, can I withhold this information if there's any chance of it helping Lan?
It wrenched her heart to think of him, and she had few options. In fact, Lan's only hope seemed to rest in the armies Rand could marshal and the gateways his people could form. Rand had to change. For Lan, for them all, and she had no idea what to do other than, unfortunately, to trust Cadswain.
Nynaeve swallowed her pride and spoke. Do you know the location of a statue of an enormous sword fallen to the earth as if stabbing it?
Kareel and Maurice glanced at each other in confusion.
The hand of the Aman Rukane.
Cadswain turned from Min with a raised eyebrow.
The full statue was never finished, from what scholars can tell. It rests near the Johanna Road.
Perrin is camping in its shadow.
Cadswain pursed her lips. I assumed he would go eastward, toward lands Althor has captured.
She took a deep breath.
All right. We are going for him right now.
She hesitated, then glanced at Nynaeve.
In answer to your question earlier, child, Perrin actually isn't important to our plans.
He isn't? Nynaeve asked.
But Cadswain raised a finger. There are people with him who are vital. One in particular.